You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
If y'all want to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Man, I just really thought I had a message. You know, I had it all worked out. And then to this afternoon, I was going, okay, well, you know, I could minister this, or I could minister that. But anyway, there's so many things I wanted to share. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And, you know, we can never change our physical appearance to look like Jesus. Well, I mean, maybe with plastic surgery, you know, maybe. Our concept of what Jesus looked like, you know, the pictures that we see on the wall. But the way that we can become like Him is by changing our inside. And changing, you know, we were made in the image of God. In Genesis 1:26, we know that God made man in His image. So that was the physical image. But then man fell, sinned, and he fell from fell out with God. You know, he walked away. He changed. And so now we have to train ourselves. You know, when you're born again, it says, the Bible says in 5:17, yes. "Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." And so the man inside you is new, but the flesh is still the flesh. And we have to train our flesh to worship God, to get into His presence, and to want to do that. And I want to read this in the Message Bible. It says, "Nothing..." I'm read the King James first. It says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So as we look in, we behold, look at His face. Let me read the Message. It says, "Nothing between us." You know, in the context of this chapter, it's talking about how in the Old Testament there was a veil when Moses... he saw God, and when he came down off the mountain with the Ten Commandments, he had so much glory on him that he had to put a veil over his face and to keep so that people could look at him. And the veil was taken away when Jesus died and rose again. And so now we can behold His face. And we can change. It says, "Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him." I love that. So let me read it one more time. "Nothing between us and God." There's no veil. There's nothing blocking us. We can go approach Him. "Our faces shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him." You know, I was thinking about, you know, you see movies with all the, you know, they have all the technology to morph someone into another image. You know, you see there's some movies, and I can't think of anyone right this second. I mean, you know, like Superman, he changes his clothes and, you know, by spinning around, all of a sudden he's in his clothes are gone and he's got the cape and the, you know, Superman outfit on. But they've got, you know, some movies where they'll have a person change their whole look, and they'll show, you know, sometimes the bones and the tissue coming back on, and then they'll put the skin on. And so they morph into another look. They'll have a different appearance. And, you know, that's the way we'll never change this physical body to look like Jesus. But our inner man is going to look more and more like Him as we spend time looking at Him. As we look at Him, we're going to be changed. So as we focus on Jesus, we're going to change ourselves. Where this flesh will become, we'll be putting our flesh down more and more, so that our spirit man is going to will be ruled by our spirit instead of by our flesh. And that's what, you know, in Galatians 5:20, it says to walk in the Spirit. And then it talks about the gifts, the fruits of the Spirit. And it's, so we'll get into that in a minute. But anyway, so we need to think about and focus in on Jesus. And what does He do? What did Jesus do? You know, in John, the 14th chapter, Philip asked Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus said, have you been with me so long that you don't know that when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? And that, and we are, and Jesus was the light of, is the light of the world. And in Matthew 5:14, it says, you are the light of the world. Jesus saying it to us, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. In verse 16, it says, let your light so shine to all men. So if a light is on a hill, it's going to be seen by everyone because it's high up. You know, there's nothing blocking it. It's higher than the tree line. It's up on a high hill. You know, that's why they, you know, with even like a lighthouse, you know, they put it out where it can be seen by the ships that are coming by to warn them of the rocks and the danger that's right there. So when we are... That's how our light should shine to the world, to all men. It's like a lighthouse or a light up on a hill where everybody can see it. And so the Amplified says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So let our light so shine before men. So if we have things that we're doing or saying that aren't lining up with what Jesus would do and say, then those are things that we need to change. And so we need to let our light shine. And that's how people are going to see Jesus. That's how they're going to see Jesus in us as we focus on Him and press toward Him. In Acts 17:28, Paul is in Athens. I think that's right, Athens. And he sees he's seeing all their how they worship different gods, and they have a statue there that says to the unknown God. And he sees that, and he's ministering, he's preaching to these people, talking to these people, and saying, you know, this, you have this a statue here to a God, the unknown God. Well, I want to tell you who that unknown God is. And he starts preaching to him, and he tells him about Jesus, and he says, in Him I live, I move, and I have my being. So in Jesus we live. He is life. His light is the life of man. And so He is our life. He is our light. And so in Him I live. It says we, but I live. You live. You live in Jesus. That's how we live, is Him. He is the one that is directing our lives when we let Him. And we move, and we have our very being in Jesus. And then in Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Jesus gave His life for us. So why don't we want to press into Him pressing into Him, focusing in on Him, change our very lives, change how people see us, letting the glory of God shine in us. You know, because we are lights to the world, we need to let our light just shine more and more. And I was thinking about this, if I didn't bring a lamp, but I like visual things. And I was thinking about how when you plug a light into the electricity, this is the electrical socket or a cord, that is dormant power. It's sitting there. It's available. But you have to plug that light into it. And then that light shines.
Amen.
And the stronger the light bulb, the more brighter it is. And so we need to plug ourselves into Jesus. Because the power's there. The Holy Spirit, I mean, well, He's in us. But we need to plug into it. And let our light just shine to the world. So that when people come in, when we come in contact with people, they kind of go, man, there's something about her. Or there's something about him. I want to know what it is. They have just such love flowing out of them. They have such compassion. You know, Jesus was moved by compassion. Jesus cared about people. And so, you know, somebody walked by and go, oh, she's pretty, or oh, he's nice looking. Well, that's not what we're after. We're after them seeing and noticing that Jesus is in our living, that we're living in Jesus, that He's living in us. And so we want our light to shine. You know, Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you. And what was the mind that was in Christ, which was also in Christ Jesus? Jesus was humble. He didn't seek attention. You know, he left his station in heaven. He left glory to come here and walk in the flesh for us, to die and to rise again. And he gave up, and he could have been exalted here on this earth. He could have wanted that recognition. I'm sure he probably battled with his flesh wanting that recognition. But yet he humbled himself. He served people. He served, that's an example for us, is to be a servant and to be humble, have that same mind to want to be humble to around people, not to want to be glory, you know, to have the glory ourselves, but to minister to people and to speak life into their lives. And so, people only see what's outside of us. They can't see what our intentions are. You know, sometimes we have good intentions and we don't follow through, or but we need to minister to them. Philippians 2:12. If you want to turn over there, Michael just ministered on this not too long ago. Help if I turn all the way over there. Philippians 2:12. Just a portion of this. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's, you know, when Michael ministered on this, that's when he said that people only see what's on the outside. They don't see what's on the inside. So we're working out by bringing forth the changes that God has made in our lives, by making it evident to people that we have been changed, that we are a new man in Christ, that we are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, that we are overcomers, that we have the victory, that we love them and we want to help them and care for them and to help them see that God loves them with an everlasting love. And then it goes on and says, because God, in the New Century Version, it says, because God is working in you to help you want to do and be able to do what pleases Him. So you work out your own salvation by changing the outside. You know, we're letting the Word of God rise up big within us, and it changes us on the outside. Because what it's doing, our flesh is, we're taking being dominant over, our spirit man is dominating our flesh. You know, we're spirit, soul, and body. And the Bible says where two agree, it'll be done. And so if your mind is going to agree with your flesh when your spirit man hasn't been fed. And so when we feed our spirit man, then our spirit is stronger than our flesh, and we can overcome the things, and because there's agreement there. But anyway, back to the example of the light. I'm not an electrician, and so an electrician could probably explain this really well, but I've heard the guys talk about it. And then, you know, with Leonine and having so much wiring that we have to do for all the equipment that we have, all the lights and things, you know, there's, and then I've talked to Michael about different things at home too. But if you have an extension cord, you can't go very, I don't know the technical parts of this about how far you can go with electricity, but the longer your cord is from the source, the less voltage, or it's weaker. It gets weaker the further away it is. So if you think of this, that if you're plugged in to Jesus, how long are you letting your cord stretch out? Yeah, you're plugged in, but you've gotten so far that your light's gotten a little dim over here. So you need to kind of roll that cord back up and get, you know, scoot on back over. Get on in over close to Him, closer to that source, so that we're changed. We're changed. We're changed so that the glory of God is just all over us. And that as you do walk by people, they're not going, oh, that's nice perfume or that's nice cologne. They're saying, there's something about them. I want what they've got. You know, because we do have something. We have someone that people need to have in their lives, that people need to turn their lives over to. And so we need to have so much flowing in our lives, so much overflowing out, that people are just drawn to us like bees to honey. They're drawn to us because they know that we have something that they need in their lives. And so that's why it's good that when we are in the Word and we're focusing in on Him and we're seeking His face, we're just getting closer and closer to Him, that we start seeing things change and drop off and our desires change. Our desires become things that He likes to do. Our desires get stirred for people, for ministering to people. And so, we need to be imitators of God as dear children. And what does He do? He loves people. He wants their lives changed. He wants their lives' needs met. He wants them to know that how much He loves them, how much He cares for them, how much He's done for them to have victory in their lives. And so we need to exude that, just have it just flowing out of us. And so it was another scripture I wanted to say. Okay, this is a little short, might be a little short tonight. So in Galatians 5:14, it says, everything we know about God's Word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself. And then in the 16th verse, it says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So as we spend time walking in the Spirit, walking in the Word, walking in and keeping our focus on Him, where our light's going to shine more and more. In Galatians 3:5, turn over there. Yes. In the Message Bible, let me read it in the King James. It says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And in the Message Bible it says, does the God who lavishly provides you with His own presence? I just love that. He lavishly provides you with His own presence, His Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves. Does He do these things because of your strenuous moral striving or because you trust Him to do them in you? And obviously the answer to that question is because we trust Him to do it in us. So He lavishly provides you with His own presence, His Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves. He does it because He wants us to be able to change, to please Him. And so back to 2 Corinthians 3:18, nothing between us and God, our faces shining with the brightness of His face. Get back over here so I can keep up track. And so we are transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. So we need to focus on Him and seek Him. Him, the one that we live in, the one that we move in, the one that we have our very being in, and the one that deserves all the praise and glory and worship and honor that we could ever give. The one who's given us His grace, the grace that abounds, who's merciful. His mercies are new every morning. The God who is our shield and our buckler, who's our provider, who's our healer, who has purchased our salvation, paid the price for us, that we don't have to die and go to hell, that we can live and go to heaven. Amen? So He is our focus. He is our the one that changes our lives. And so I hope that encourages you tonight and it really challenges me when I was studying this. It really challenges me to spend more time on concentrating on my focus, where my focus is, spending more time in His presence, spending more time beholding His face so that I can change and people will be ministered just by being around me, because of the love that would flow out of me.